This is the 9th of August, 1977. Gerda and I are interviewing in Omaha, Nebraska.
Would you please give us your full name?
Margaret June Holmes. June was my maiden name.
And how did you spell that?
J-U-U-L.
J-U-U-L. Mm-hmm. And where did you come from?
I came from a little town out south of Ulvor. There was a half a mile to the Maya Fjord and a quarter of a mile to the ocean, to Kattegat.
Uh-huh.
So born and raised on a farm and would always be a farmer.
When did you come to the United States?
I came in the 17th, I left Denmark the 7th of November, 1928, and came here 2 weeks later to Iowa to my brother.
And what was your brother's name?
Axel Jew.
Axel Jew.
Living right close to Harlem.
Do you mind telling us how old you were at that time?
I was 28. I was born 1900.
And so then you were 28 when you decided to immigrate?
Yes.
What was the reason for your wanting to immigrate?
Oh, I can tell you. I really came over to get married, and it didn't work out, so that was it.
Was this someone you had known in Denmark?
Oh, yeah.
But you did eventually marry.
Not that man.
Not that man, but
I
you
married
did.
The right one.
That's good.
2.5 years later, I was married.
When you lived in Denmark as a little girl and you lived on the farm, what can you tell us about that farm? What kind of a life did you
it
have?
It was a small place. And what my parents had when my mother was 44 and my father 45. I was 12 when my mother died and 13 when my father died. And since then I've been more or less on my own. I had my most wonderful family over there. They were good to me. But if I couldn't get along on my own, I had no place to go home to.
I see.
What was your father's and mother's name?
Jens Ibsen, Jew. And my mother's maiden name was Maren Axelsen.
Maren Axelsen.
Mm-hmm.
And how big a farm did they live on?
It was just a small place.
Yeah. And what did they raise on the farm?
Oh, the main part was, I can't say if there was rye, but we had rye, barley and oats and lots of beets for the pigs and the cows. And that was most of what we had at the farm.
Did you ever know your grandparents on either side?
I can remember my grandfather on my father's side. I was just 2 when he died. And I can barely remember my mother's parents. I can remember them, but really not well enough.
Do you remember any of their names?
Oh, yeah.
Would you mind giving them to us?
My grandfather on my mother's side was Axel Loos. Axel Nielsen, but he was never called anything but Loos. And my whole family over there have taken the Loos name. Because all my forefathers was either Loos, that means pilot on the fjord, or farmers, or boat.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother's name was Kirsten Hanstadter.
Hanstadter.
And my father's father was Peter Nielsen, and had the inn in South Sundersund, South Sund. And my grandmother was she was a countess, but not recognized with the family.
I see. What
do you remember of your mother and father? What kind of people were
My
they like?
Mother was a very, very intelligent woman. And but her parents at that time couldn't think of a woman studying. She just went to what we call high school in Denmark. And but she was, one day was very well read. She wrote a lot of poetry, and as I say, was a very well-read woman, and, but never sitting down and read, always with knitting in her hand while she was reading.
Now, what would she knit when she was reading?
Oh, either stockings or on Sunday she didn't have the black stockings. She had the white knitted on a shirt we wore.
So she knitted white on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. And with a white apron on. And she was the only woman in town that would have a white apron on.
I see. At that time, were your parents involved in the church in Denmark?
No, not at all.
Not at all. No. What kind of schooling did you have?
I had what I call a very, very good teacher. He was very much ahead of his time, and he brought all of his own children up for realis and home. Mm-hmm. So there was a group of us. We were so far ahead, he didn't know what to do to us. So he taught us English and German and a lot of other things that no other teacher I ever taught in the regular school hours.
Was this a one-room school?
It was a one-room school.
One teacher for...
Mm-hmm, but he was far ahead of any other teachers I had ever known.
What was his name?
Anton Ulrichsen, U-L-R-I-C-K-S-E-N.
And how many how many years did you attend his school?
Seven. Eight. I started when I was five.
I see.
And until I was 14. So that must be nine.
And then, did you ever get a chance to go to high school?
No. I went to Husholm School.
Oh, I see.
Cooking school in Sorø, Ankerhus.
I see.
And took 5 months there for we had everything, including housekeeping, anything you can think of there concerns a home.
Then, after you had finished the solo, did you go out to earn a living for yourself?
I don't always.
Can you tell us about some of the work that you did?
The first place I had was, when I was 15 was a place where, on a small farm, out, way out in the country. And I was laying there all alone, weeding, day in, day out, couldn't see a person or anything. And it was kind of hard. That was the first half year. The next 4 years, I was with a family where I, to this day, is family. The most wonderful people that I ever lived. Then I was there 4 years. And then I went to Seoul. And may then after that, I took jobs. And they were very interesting jobs.
May we have the name of the family you worked for?
That you,
in Denmark?
Yeah, that yes. You felt like family.
Anton Andersen.
Anton Andersen.
Anton Senior. I have two daughters and they're still my small sisters.
What was Anton's wife's name?
Signe.
And the daughters?
Emma and Hannah. Oh. And where do they live? They live around Altshelberskov yet, the two daughters. And Anton and Signe died years ago.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time you were coming to this country, what jobs had you held then in Denmark?
Oh, I had, the first job I had after school was with an architect. And of course, how old were you when you left Denmark? You can't remember.
I was 13.
Yeah, I know you don't. But his wife was a daughter of her aunt. Her father's sister was Frida Boisen Müller, one of the main women's rights.
Women's rights.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very, very interesting job. I was always, what we in Denmark call, I lived with the family. Uh-huh. I never have worked as a maid, except there with Anton Osina, where I was with family.
Uh-huh.
But I was there for just a half a year, then I worked for my cousin a half a year, then I went to Bornholm and was there a year, and then I came back and started to work as a housekeeper in one of the biggest houses in Copenhagen with four maids.
Oh, that was a big responsibility.
You can say that again.
Did you enjoy that kind of work?
Yeah, but it was too hard on me. I couldn't have lasted another couple of years.
When
you mentioned that you worked with this architect whose wife was involved in women's...
No, her aunt was.
Her aunt was involved in women's liberation.
Yeah.
Would you tell us about some of the things that she did?
She was No, her son's deceased, and her niece, the one I worked for, she said, my aunt was traveling all over Denmark telling people how to raise the family and for the women to get free of all this torture, while her own kids was running with the elbows and the knees out of their pants.
What were some of the things she stood for? What was she trying to do for women? How did she want to change?
Not only that, but for bringing up kids.
I see.
And for, you know, for freedom altogether. And she was a very outstanding woman. You see, your mother is still here.
Yes.
And she will remember her name.
That may be, yes.
May we have that name again?
Ulrike Boysen Müller.
And I think I remember the name all right, yes, even as young as I was.
Yeah.
How did she affect the lady's life that you worked for, that the family that you lived
in? When I was working for, she was an artist. With her needles, she made embroidery. She took a rose or a flower and just sat down and made it right out. From
with a needle and thread?
You can see the dew on the petals of the roses.
Isn't that?
She was an artist.
Now, did you learn things from her?
I was making sewing a big party of roses, and it was like any other high school kid's rose work, until she took her needle and just a few stitches, and she made life in it.
Oh,
I couldn't.
I see.
There's only a few stitches and it was there.
How big a family did you come from? How many brothers
and
sisters?
I had three brothers. Two older brothers and one younger brother.
And would you give us their names?
Carl June. He's the one that's living in Tampa and do all the writing from our home, the town.
Yeah. What town is it he's from?
Tampa,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And Archie is over here. Used to be a farmer in Iowa, now retired. Then I came, and then my youngest brother is 4 years old and lives in California.
And he lives, now where in California does he live?
In La Vista, no, but it's there. Right.
Oh, that's all right.
Cause but right now they're in Denmark.
Oh, there, and they're visiting in Denmark.
And my oldest brother was 80 last Sunday, and my son and my daughter-in-law and my two grandchildren are over there right now.
At the time you decided to emigrate, how did you get the money to go? That was a long ways to go.
Oh, you know, I make good money.
Oh, you had the money. Yeah.
I make good money and had a little inheritance, and it was never touched, and that, you know, when it stand without.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a little money, and my uncle being over here, I said, what to do not to get loans? And he said, take money enough along so you can go home anytime you want to.
And so you came with that in mind that you
yes,
could
come I
back.
Did.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
What was your uncle's name in this country?
No, that was he was not. He was living in Denmark, but he has been over here for years.
Oh, I see. And so it was your brother you came to.
I came to my brother.
Yes, the Axel.
Yeah,
you. Do you remember the boat that you traveled on?
I came on Oscar the second.
Yes,
and. We went home. My oldest son was baptized in Denmark when he was 4 months. And we went on.
Oh, it's all right.
And we came back on Father's Day.
Uh-huh.
But today is my oldest son's birthday.
Oh,
the one they were baptized in Denmark.
Oh. Coming across on Oscar the second. What happened? What was it like to travel in those days?
It was wonderful. See, on a boat, you get together in groups,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to be six. There were, you know, shared everything and had more fun. But I was the only immigrant and the only one that didn't speak English.
Oh.
But we had lots of fun together, and I even think that people thought we were a little wild, but I can assure you we wasn't. But we were acting sometimes just to make their tongues go. They had to have something to speak about so they can talk about us.
You spoke of that you didn't know English. Then the English you had learned from the schoolmaster, did not stick to the point where you couldn't
I
speak?
I never cared too much for English. German was my line.
I see.
And the English, the German, my German was well enough so I could have taken a job in Holland before I took that job in Copenhagen.
Oh, I see.
I was speaking German.
When the boat landed, was that in New York?
Yeah.
Did
we
you
went into Halifax and unloaded some of the passengers there and then to New York.
And did you have to go through Ellis Island?
No. We had all the papers fixed from Denmark. We had a stack of paper that big when we
came. About 2 inches you're giving me, isn't it? How did you find out how to get from the boat to whatever transportation
there was someone there to meet us, and they took us to the train and sent us on our way, marked our name and our destination on the car we had on.
Oh, it was on your, you had fastened to your clothing?
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you did not know English at that time. How did you eat? How did you order food on the train?
I think there came a man through with sandwiches, and then of course we can buy a sandwich there. But I happened to be with one of the fans from the boat, mm-hmm. and he got clear to Chicago. So we went down to eat in the dining car.
Uh-huh. So had you ever tried anything like that before?
Mm-hmm.
Was that an experience?
Yes, it was.
Now, when you arrived in Iowa at your brother's place, what kind of a reception did you get? Did he have a family for you to?
He was married, I came in November, he was new married in February the same year. But I had heard so much about Holland, so many of my hometown people come from there. I thought Holland would be a town like Aalborg.
Oh.
So when we drove in to the depot, I thought, oh, they're stopping out here in the country for some reason, because most likely they can't get in. And there was that little red station. There was my brother and his wife standing. I thought it can't be possible that was the station in the town.
You had an idea. It was a real city.
I thought it was halfway the city.
Uh-huh. How long had your brother been in this country?
He came in 22.
So he was fairly well established.
Yeah. See, my oldest brother was over here for many years, and then the other two came over to him.
I see.
But he left shortly after we came over and went back to Denmark.
Now, from Chicago to Iowa, you were by yourself on
yes.
that train. Did anything happen because you didn't know English?
No, really not, because, you see, that was the same in Chicago. They were watching out for us and took us to the train where we were going. But I was sent. They sent me to Carroll, Iowa, on a mistake, whatever it was. So I was sitting there in Carroll, and it was there in the middle of November. A great big stove in the center, just red hot. And everyone that came past that stove spit on it. And the stove spit back, and I came right from Copenhagen. All the women have these flabby overalls, and they were not buggy, they just flapped around.
You really thought you had joined the...
And every time I heard the train, I took my suitcases and went out, and a man came and took the suitcases and put them back. But then finally my right train came, and he took me out.
And you got to Holland okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you live with your brother and his family?
I came there in the middle of the 21st of November, and I stayed with him to New Year's, and then I started to work for a banker.
And what was
in
that?
In Holland.
And what was that
family? His name was Platt.
Now, was he a Danish man?
No. Mm-mm. But his wife had so many Danish girls, he always tried to get the ones that came over.
Uh-huh.
She liked them. And she was very nice to help me with my English. Came down at night and was writing and reading with me. And my brother's wife was a teacher. After I left Holland and came here to Omaha, I wrote her once a week, and I got all my letters back corrected.
Now, was she
Danish?
Big
help. Nope.
No.
American.
She now, wasn't American.
Mr. Clapp's name, first name?
I think they were Bert.
And what about Mrs. Clapp?
I can't even remember what her name was.
I was just thinking anyone who would help you with, anyone with English would should have
yeah,
a mention.
Yeah, her name is, I can't remember her name, her first name. If I, of course I know it.
While you were with the Clapp family, what were your duties in the home? What kind
I did the cooking and the cleaning. She did all the laundry, my laundry included. I really had a very easy job. I did very little compared to what I'd been used to.
Now, they were not Danish. Did you cook Danish food for them?
Not too much. Mostly American.
Now, how did you know how to cook American so quickly?
Oh, she taught me too. And you know, I had all the experience from years of cooking. That went easy enough.
Well,
that there one place where I wasn't staying with the family. I was staying in the kitchen to eat, and that's something I never done before.
Did you have your own room?
Oh, yeah, but not with a bathroom.
I see. Could you give us any idea what kind of pay you got for the work?
I got only $5 a week.
And then did you get room and board?
Oh, yeah.
Besides?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go back and take some schooling after you came to this country?
Yeah, I was always going to school all my life. I had taken night schools here, and I had taken, I even went to Omaha U half a year together with my oldest son.
You did?
And then, of course, we went to school for citizenship papers.
Yes.
And after we had them, the group of us keep on going for English.
I see. Do you feel comfortable with English? You sound comfortable.
Absolutely. And that was reading and writing. I write an English letter as quick as I do with English.
Now, do you still write to Denmark?
Oh, sure.
You have kept up the contact mm-hmm. with, even though your father and mother were not alive, you have kept correspondence mm-hmm. with others in Denmark. How long did you work for the Clapp family?
I worked there for a little better than a year, and I never liked a small town because I wanted to be so I could be free and easy in myself. When I walked down the street, you say, "Oh, there's the one that just came over. That's the Jewel sisters," and it really bothered me. Then one woman walked up to me one day and she said, "You don't know who I am, but I know who you are. You don't know how good that felt." He's there in heaven saying, "Oh, dear, she walks now."
Yeah.
And I couldn't stand it. So I came to Country Bluffs and worked for a family there for a few months.
And do you remember their names?
Butler. What was his first name?
Oh, that's fine. Now, if we ever ask you a name and you would rather not give it, you just say it.
Oh, well, it don't make any difference. You were very, very lovely.
Yeah. People. But, you know, we don't want
but
to.
But then I was offered a job as a housekeeper. Over here, for a widow, they have his old 95-year-old mother-in-law living with him. And I would rather be independent.
Uh-huh.
You know, after I had that big job in Denmark where, you know, I was the boss of the household,
yes.
Then I would rather have
her. What was the name of that family then?
J.C. Michelson.
Now, that sounds Scandinavian. Was that a Scandinavian?
Yes. He had a store in South Omaha, hardware store.
I see.
In South Omaha.
What were your duties in that home?
To take care of it. There was only him and his mother-in-law there, uh-huh. And then he had an adopted daughter.
Uh-huh. But you did the cooking again and
the whole thing. And then if I had too much work, I had someone come in and help me with house cleaning and things like that.
Did you work 7 days a week?
Yeah, but I finally got a day off, and so I could go 1 day a week. But, you know, the old lady will always find something, and I was ready to leave that she wanted me to do. So.
Did you have any contact with any other Danish people during this time that you were working as a housekeeper? Were there any other Danes for you to associate with?
Oh, yeah. I had there was a group of maids that met every Thursday down for coffee, because one of our group was had a post office at St. Patrick's. So we were a group of young women or girls that were work, all domestic, except Elva that was working at the post office. And we met every Thursday in for lunch hour or coffee hour, and they had coffee.
Now, I happen to know Kilpatrick's is a department store here in Omaha,
yeah.
And I'm going to be sure that on the tape that that's put in, it was a branch post office in the department
yes,
store, right?
I don't know if they have it now.
I don't know if
they have it at that time.
How did you meet these other domestics?
Oh, mostly through the church. I went, and one of them, that was through the church. I met the big group. And that had been my help all the way through.
Now, would you tell us about the church that you...
The first time I was there, I was there when the we got a new pastor, Pastor Peterson, when he was installed. But I never have time to go Sunday to church because I always had the rest of the family for Sunday dinner. I could never go. But I sang in the choir, practiced in the choir, but I couldn't sing on Sunday.
Oh. What church was that?
At that time, it was the Danish Evangelical Lutheran Church. And then it changed name, and now it's Shepherd of the Hills. And they was located down on 22nd Leavenwood. And now we moved out to 60 and Reddick.
I see.
But
and you still belong to that church?
Yeah.
And it still means something special in your life?
Very much so.
Did you belong to any other organizations in Omaha?
Before I left Harlan, I joined the Rebecca's because I thought then I would have to have, can get contact with somebody, nice people when I come down here. But before I know of it, I was involved with so much else that I never went to one Rebecca meeting until after my husband died. And then my friend coaxed me to be reinstalled.
I see.
As a Rebecca.
Did you ever join, at any time, did you ever join any of the Danish sisterhoods or anything?
No.
Or any other Danish organization? When did you meet your husband, Mr. Holm?
I met him in 1930, for dance we had. We used at that time to have lots of Danish, doing some Danish, and dances. And I met him there.
He's a Dane too then?
And he always danced with me, but he never said a word. So I said to one of my friends, our mutual friends, I said, who is the guy? He always dances with me, but he never say a word. He said his name is Holm, and we call him the Stille Kerl, the quiet fellow.
Yeah.
So he went to her too, and she said, "What is that girl's name?" Oh, her name is Margaret Holm. She worked down in South Omaha.
I see. Now, what was Mr. Holm's first name?
Anton.
Anton. Now, Anton Holm. Had he come over from Denmark, or was he born in this country?
No, he came over right after the tornado, when they were building that up.
Now,
that was 1913.
I know how to get in and work on that right away.
Do you know where he came from in Denmark?
Yeah, he came from a little town, Demstrup. Yeah, he is from the farm too, just like I am.
Uh-huh.
But a little town 2 miles south of Viborg.
I see. And Demstrup?
And Demstrup.
Was he from a farming family too?
Yeah, but there was no a small farm just like I came from. So all the sons got to trade. The three oldest was carpenters. The fourth was a painter, and the last one got to be what we call a control assistant. He was had a district where he was testing the cows.
Oh.
See, in Denmark, if a cow don't give enough butter, fat, or whatever to keep her for, out she go.
Uh-huh.
And see, that's where he tested that.
And what was that job called?
The Kalbi Production Control Assistant.
Oh, Control Assistant, Yeah. Now, do you know why he decided to come to America?
His oldest brother was over here, I think.
He had a brother here already, too. And do you know if he had to pay his own way or if he...
Yeah.
And so he had earned that money himself?
Yeah.
Did he come directly to Omaha when he came?
Yeah. But then he worked at the... during the war on the shipbuildings out in Washington.
Oh, I see. Near the Puget Sound, then.
Yeah. But all the while, the first many years, he took correspondence. Of course, they have the, in Denmark, they have the 4 years of apprenticeship and 4 years to take high.
Mm-hmm.
But he keep on taking, after he came over here for blueprints and so on. But that was long before my time.
I see, yes. Now, you told us earlier he was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And that was mostly here.